Hey, welcome back. All right. Now let's talk about something very sad in this video. And that sadness comes from whenever students are waitlisted or dinged. That's why the title of the video is Dinged Now What? Let's hit waitlisting first. I really wanted to address this because students who come to me, who come to our consulting office and request information and advice on what to do, you know, and it's usually not that, usually students are not that calm. You know, usually it's like, oh, I got waitlisted. What do I do now? Ah! And it's funny because it's not funny, but it's funny because there's so much more to the application process than simply applying, getting in your test scores, writing your answers, and that's it. There's the nuance in it. There are things behind it. I mean, there's a reason why there are professional admissions consultants around the world to help you. And that's fine if you didn't use a consulting firm to help you with your application process. That's cool. That's on your own merit. But at the same time, you know, it would have been good for you to have consulted with an office before to understand that there are many things that you can do to avoid being waitlisted beforehand. But now that it's done, said and done for, if you are in fact waitlisted, you have a five-step process here. What you need to do. First thing is to write a letter of intent, basically stating why you should be considered for a spot at that school. What should you include in this letter of intent? It's basically a why this school answer, but also with a few key highlights like a leadership experience brief. You know, you're fit with the school, you're fit with the culture. Highlight some of your key points, some skills that the school should regard as something beneficial for the community. It shouldn't be long. You should have, have some tact there, have some good sense. You know, they don't want to read another application. Remember that. They're not looking to read another application. They want to see some final strengthening points of why you should be considered. Now, you know, this is something that, again, you should or even you could have evaluated beforehand had you sought out a consulting office. If you haven't already, then now's the time. If you get waitlisted, swallow your pride, get in touch with the consulting office. I would suggest any consulting office that's near you, anywhere in the world, but check AGAC first. AGAC is the Association of International Graduate Admissions Consultants. And what we all do is we uphold a standard level of quality and service. And it's those. There are many people who consider themselves as admission consultants. Fine, that's great. And some of them are actually pretty good. However, they have no governing body to hold them accountable for some of the things that they do. So my suggestion is that, you know, if you really want to go straight through it, you don't want to risk your application being blocked because of something shady that happened with an admissions consultant that you met online somewhere. No, make sure you look for AGAC stamp of approval, stamp of excellence. If you want the list for AGAC certified consultants, then go check out www.aigac.org, AGAC.org. There is a directory there with the list of all the top consultants who are also part of AGAC and who are from many different parts of the world. Find the one closest to you, sit down, have a talk, and see what you need to do for the waitlist and how to get your revision. I mean, like, have someone take a look at your letter of intent before you send that in. The second thing you need to do is really reanalyze your entire application. You have to look back and think about how well do you fit into that school's profile. Not necessarily culture. I'm talking about their profile. I'm talking about, does your background match those of many of the students that got accepted? And do your future goals seem realistic? Are they feasible? Remember what I said, they're always checking to see how feasible your future goals are, how well you've progressed in the past, and how will the MBA play a key feature as a bridge between the two. If you can't clearly show that, then there's something that went wrong in your application and they're considering it. Maybe there's some red flags that are raised up. Maybe something doesn't match. Maybe what you said in the application and what you said in the interview doesn't match. Maybe something your recommender says didn't really do it for them. Maybe it doesn't seem like it was a real recommender. Another reason why you should be checking with an AGAC consultant, an AGAC certified consultant, mainly because there are people who offer recommender services, you know, where they write out a recommendation for you. And if a school catches you doing that, trust me, that's your chances of getting in are, you know, close to none. Okay, if they catch you. So there you have it. If you want an ethical committee, an ethical, you know, some people who are there to help you in the right way, then again, like I said, check for the AGAC stamp of excellence. The third thing you need to do is visit the school, go check out the school, go meet with the admissions people, you know, mingle with as many people as possible, you know, show your face. It's extremely important to be there because you can use that as a basis for your argument. You know, I visited the school and I can honestly say this is the right place for me. And I know many of you may not have the financial, how do you say, you know, the means to be able to go and visit the school, and I'm sorry for that. But that doesn't mean you lack resourcefulness. You know, usually even if you don't really know how to get there or how you can make the money to get there, you can find a way. We always find a way for that which we believe in our hearts to be the right thing. Will this guarantee that you get an acceptance from being waitlisted? No, it doesn't guarantee that either. So you are gambling here. Again, let me restate, all of this stuff could have been avoided had you gone through your application process the correct manner. Just saying. The fourth thing you need to do is get an extra recommendation letter, preferably from somebody that wasn't from the recommendation letter, preferably someone who didn't write the previous recommendation letters for you during the application. So you get a third recommender, a third person who has worked closely with you. Don't get a recommendation letter from the country's president or from, you know, I don't know, from the Queen of England. It's not going to work. You want to get a recommendation letter from somebody who has been really close to you, and also have them answer the questions and specify why they feel you would be able to take the greatest advantage from your MBA as possible, but also be a positive contribution. Now, the fifth thing you need to do is get an email. You don't get their email. You have three alumni send the admissions committee an email stating or emphasizing your fit with the school. This is basically a sales pitch. Okay, depending on the alumni or the alumnus, they need to be able to vouch for you. They're putting their hand in the fire for you. They're saying, I will cut off my pinky if this guy is not, or this girl is not perfect for your program. Yeah, they're not going to cut off their pinky, but that's the kind of sense that, you know, of the emails that you want. It is a sales pitch, but you need to make sure that you don't overdo it. Check everything with a consultant, okay? Any one of those consultants that you find on the directory, get in touch with them and really try to see, because then what happens is when you get in touch with the consultant will review your entire application profile, match it against the schools, and then try to figure out why you got waitlisted, and then be able to best evaluate what your letter of intention should say, what your recommendation letter should say, and what your emails from the alumni should say. Boom, there you have it. There's really no way I can give you a couple of hints, but there's no way where I can give you a application specific tip for these things, mainly because I haven't read your application, mainly because I don't know about your past. Okay. And be wary of those who say, all right, I know what to do. Don't even worry about the application. I already know it. You know, it's not. Each application is unique in its own self. You need to have someone review it. If not, if you have a very close alumnus friend who can review it for you and give you some tips, that's great. You save some money out of your pocket. But if you really want to be at that school, then, you know, my suggestion is going to be that. Get in touch with consulting office. The main reason why is this. Watch. You decided to apply on your own. So what you did, you went out there, you applied on your own, you paid money to apply, you followed along the application process, you took your tests, you know, your GMAT and the TOEFL if you require it. You took those tests, you got the scores you need, you've had a good career progression, and then you've written your essays, and then after you've applied, you've submitted your application, you're waiting, you get called in for an interview, then you watch this program, this interview process, maybe not, you've probably bought this or not, and then you did this interview, and you go out there, you wait another month, and then you get waitlisted. Oh my God. And even then, you feel like, I can do this on my own. That's fine. Go for it. I mean, I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm not here to tell you you shouldn't do it on your own. That's fine. I really hope, I mean, if you can do it on your own, do it on your own. And I really hope that you do get accepted. That's great, because that's a merit in itself. But many of the times, you know, if you want to make sure that, all right, this time I'm not going to spend another entire year doing this application, I need to go now. I've got waitlisted, so I'm at the door. I'm just waiting for the bouncer to check off my name and allow me to come in. Then what you need is to have, you know, a friend by your side that can tell the bouncer, look, hey, this girl is top candidate. Definitely let her in, or definitely let him in. And we're not going to a dance club, but you've been waiting in this line for an entire year. Think about that. Unfortunately, though, let's talk about when you get dinged. When you get dinged, there's not much you can really do. The only school that will provide you with formal feedback is Tuck. All the other schools will not, mainly because they just probably don't have the time. You know, thousands of applications, you know, they just can't tell everybody why they got dinged. And it won't even matter if you called admissions office and asked them personally. It wouldn't matter if you even showed up to the admissions office. They probably won't. One, because of confidentiality problems. You know, they can't disclose information of their application process to you. They can't disclose even your application information to you, even though you are the person who was the one that was applying. Because you already have all that information anyway. When you do get dinged, though, and you decide, all right, should I reapply or not? Yes, schools normally tell students they should reapply. Depends, though. They can't really say yes and they can't really say no, because they don't have a specific, you know, they don't have a specific template on saying, okay, these types of candidates should apply, these candidates shouldn't. No, it's all kind of blurry there. It's all a sense of judgment. And the best way for all of us to judge a candidate's application is by understanding the past, the present, and the future of that candidate. Now, if you got dinged, there are some clues. A few clues that you can check into are, recheck your recommendation letters. See if your recommenders really, you know, said good things about you and highlighted some of the key points, some of the weaknesses that the MBA can manage. You also need to, another clue for me at least, is your level. I mean, did you apply to a school that's way higher than your level or the level of your profile? If that's the case, all right, cool, you gambled. If you got accepted, that would have been a bonus, but you were probably expecting that you weren't going to make it anyway. So, all right, if that's the case and you get dinged, that means there's something in your profile that needs to be improved. There's something about your entire process. There's always something there that you can identify, like, oh, I think this might have been it. What was the depth of your professional background? How deep was your professional background? How well did you progress in your professional background? These are some of the clues that can help you. What about your GMAT and TOEFL scores? Were they within average? Were they above average and you still got dinged? That might be another issue. Okay, I had above average scores, then process of elimination. It wasn't the GMAT or the TOEFL. It might have been something else, as far as maybe your recommendation or your professional background. If your proficiency scores were below average, and that's probably a big clue there. And you might be asking me, you know, okay, so how do I identify? There's a couple of routes you can take. If you cannot speak with admissions officers about this, then where do we go? I told you that the biggest asset that you have for whatever school you're applying to are the alumni. Get in touch with the alumni. Get in touch with one or two alumni who have shown that, you know, they really want a relationship. You know, you're having this good chemistry. You're talking well to them, and see if, ask them if they could review your application from you. They're never going to be able to get it from the school. Again, confidentiality reasons. But check to see if they are willing to kind of read your application through and get an idea of maybe why you might not have gotten accepted. And you can give them their personal, you can ask them for their personal opinions. Personal, not professional. But usually the alumni from a school, they've lived through that process. They lived through 2 years of the MBA. So they have a really good idea of what type of student that specific school is looking for. Right? There's no way that you're going to spend a 2-year relationship with a person and then not be able to know what is his or her favorite food. And if that's the case, then shame on you. Shame on you. It's probably why it didn't work out for you. So definitely ask them for their opinion. The second route is, again, I'm not here to promote consulting, but there's a reason why we exist. Get in touch with a professional consultant. Definitely do so. That consultant or the alumnus may be able to identify what was your problem. Was it because of your recommenders? Find new recommenders, reapply, change it around. Even in your reapplication, there's a question there at the end when you are reapplying. They're going to ask you what's changed. Then you have to continue showing that you have a robust professional background, that you've expanded this, you know, you've gained more responsibilities, that you've progressed in your position, and that you've strengthened some of the weaknesses that you had, you know, in the prior application. You have to show something changed. So if it was the recommenders, then get new recommenders. If it was maybe your profile, then be able to show how your profile changed from last year to the next year that you're applying to. If it was a problem of GMAT and TOEFL. Now, okay, the GMAT and the TOEFL are much less of the TOEFL. I'm a TOEFL teacher. But I know that TOEFL is not necessary. It's just to check to see if your English is good enough, right? So don't worry too much about that. The problem is a GMAT. For a lot of students, the GMAT is tough. Why do all schools require this test? And it is frustrating sometimes. This test is a frustrating test, and especially for those of you who have a harder time finding even a course that can help you with the GMAT. If you want, there are two great courses out there that I love. I'd say about three courses that I love to recommend. One is obviously the Veritas Prep, high-end course. You know, it is expensive, but it's brings results. Magoosh, go Google Magoosh, Magoosh, the Magoosh GMAT Prep. That's also a good course, a little bit more affordable, but the third one, that the one that I like a lot, is one called ExamPal, ExamPal. It's actually a fully online program that adapts to your learning. It basically uses, you know, a form of AI, artificial intelligence, to calculate what areas you need more improvement on, what areas that are your strengths, and it adjusts all your simulation tests accordingly, and it adjusts your course accordingly. So if you did this twice, if you go through the course once and you go through the course again, I guarantee you're never going to find the same two questions. So, and that's pretty cool, because then you don't have to really sit in and watch classes. You learn on your own time. You learn at your own pace, and you learn at any location that you want to. And that, I think that is fantastic. So if it is in fact your GMAT score that was the problem, the alumna states, hey, you need to improve the GMAT because the median here, the average here is 720, 730 plus, and you applied with the 680. Yeah, most likely you got deemed because of that. And usually it's not just one thing. Okay, usually it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Okay, usually it's bits and pieces here, and they put it together and they go, all right, can we accept this? No, we can't. You know, it's just, we just can't. Not at this time. Maybe if the candidate improves his or her professional background, her progression, her GMAT scores, and the recommenders are here telling us about how well that candidate has improved, then yes, we hope for your reapplication because we hope that you have progressed in the last year. That's great. However, in the sense of you got dinged, okay, there's no way the school is going to revert that situation. They're never going to take back a ding. You do need to know that you're going to have to reapply. Before you do reapply, you need to reevaluate, figure out what it is you went wrong. So get in touch with the alumni and then get in touch with the consulting office. Okay. And get yourself prepared. Get ready to go for one more year, one more stretch. And during that year, maybe you didn't have any community service. Schools love people who do community service. I get students who haven't done community service. Is this going to be a problem? And I tell them, possibly. It can be a problem, mainly because nowadays it's all about paying it forward. It's all about being that type of a person that upholds certain values and certain desires to impact community in a positive way. Why is this extremely important? It's for this exact reason. Let's say you're a person who doesn't do community service. Oh, I've always wanted to do it. I just never found the right time. You go through they accept you to the MBA, you go through the MBA, you become an alumnus, and then a couple years down the line, somebody comes in contact with you and says, hi, I'm trying to apply for this school, from your school, and I really wanted a little bit of feedback on my profile. Do you have some time to sit down and talk to me? And you go, you know what? I'd love to, but I just don't have the time. Where is your sense of paying it forward? Don't have one. You don't have one. That's what school is going to be looking at. And I'm here telling you, you need to contact the alumni. What if they don't have time for me? They'll have time for you because those are usually the type of people that they accept. They'll figure out a way to promote their school. They'll figure out a way to help the school's image. They want, they love the school. The school changed their lives. And they want to help the people who want to be a part of that school as well. So I'd say about 7 times out of 10, people will, I mean, don't go for like, don't send Tim Cook an email. If you're applying to Duke, you know, for example, and you want to, you know, you want some feedback, then you're not going to send an email to Tim Cook. He's not, you know, whether or not he answers you, I don't know. I've never tried that. Maybe you should. But you want to get somebody in your industry. That's the point. You're not looking at how high up, you're looking at what kind of specific help can I get from this alumnus? Ask yourself that question before sending 400 emails out there to every alumni of that school. Narrow it down to the people in your industry, narrow it down to the people you feel like, all right, I think this person may have some time, and then send out some emails and ask them, you know, start talking to them, get in touch with them. In fact, you should have done this before you got dinged, before even the interview process. You should have talked to as many alumni as possible anyway. So by now you should have some alumni friends. What am I saying? Anyway, I'm not here to preach, but I'm just saying sometimes it's frustrating because, you know, you really want the best for the students. I really want the best for my students. I really want the best for you. But you can't half-ass it, all right? There are things that you must do that will make your profile more robust, more easier to accept over somebody else's profile. Put yourself in an admissions committee, admissions officer's shoes. Put yourself in their shoes for a minute. Take a look at your profile. Take a good look at your profile. And then you look at somebody else's profile who's slightly better than you. Who would you choose? Okay, if you're not biased, you'll choose the other candidate, not yourself. Things to think about. All right. I really hope this video helped you understand why it's extremely important to have done all of this stuff before, but also the importance of, if you got dinged or you got waitlisted, there's a strategy. Now, we need to take on this strategy, and detail by detail and head this forward, because I really want you to get accepted. I really hope so. There's a reason why I do this motivational podcast. I was getting tired of seeing candidates give up halfway through their application process. So I created the MBA Wire just for that. I've created this, the interview, your MBA interview program, just so that I can help you with your application process. I really want the best for you. And here I am telling you what you should have done before everything else, before you got dinged or waitlisted, what you should have done, but also what you can do from now on. If you got waitlisted, follow those 5 steps, get in touch with a consultant or an alumnus. If you got dinged, same thing. Get in touch with a consultant or an alumnus. If you got dinged because maybe of your GMAT score, which is usually the case, but not always, then get in touch with the courses that can help you with this. Oh, but I'm pretty smart. If I got a 670, 680 on my own, I can just practice a little bit more and get it on my own. Guarantee you, no, you cannot. The same with the TOEFL. It's easier for you to go from a 500 to a 600 than it is for you to go from a 680 to a 710. The higher you get on the score, the harder it is, obviously. What I mean by that is sometimes some problems cannot be solved by the same mind. I read that quote somewhere. It's not mine. I don't remember who said it. But you cannot solve a problem by looking at it at the same way. You have to find different ways. You have to have somebody outside from the outside take a look at it and go, I know what's wrong. So get that. Get down to that. Be sure to be careful. This is my responsibility to not say you can get in touch with any type of admissions consultant. It's my responsibility to say you need to make sure that you get in touch with an AGAC certified consultant. Not because I'm part of this great, great group, but because I believe in values. I have values. I believe in ethics. I believe that you should get in touch with somebody who knows what they're doing, who's not gonna, they're not gonna run off with your money. They're gonna provide you with good services. All right. If I remember some more stuff, if I get more feedback from everybody, and there are other questions that you want me to ask, I will be continually adding more and more videos to this course. So, leave your questions below. I'll try to get back to them as soon as possible. For now, I will catch you later. Go watch the next video or take a break or watch the next video or take a break. Bye. We put our glass to the sky and lift up our